The Guardian.
We are in Peter Doig's exhibition at Tate Britain, and I'm coming towards the end of the show, and through a door on my left I can see one of the very last paintings, one of the most recent works. Doig spent most of his childhood and adolescence growing up in Canada, but from the ages of 1.5 to 7 he lived in Trinidad, and in 2002 he returned there, and the atmosphere of his paintings took quite a strong shift. The temperature went up, the kinds of trees changed, the sea warmed up, the snow melted, and the paintings lost a lot of the heaviness and density that they had before. They were lighter in touch, more direct, and these very last paintings in the show are lighter still. In the middle of the 1990s, we spoke, he and I, about his work, and he said that it took a long time for his work to get simple, that he'd like it to lose a lot of its accretions of paint, but he'd only been painting then for about 15 or 14 years, and it was going to take him a long time. But anyway, here we are at the very end of the show, and the painting which I glimpsed a little earlier on through a doorway, which kind of tantalizes. I love that moment when you're visiting shows and you see something out of the corner of your eye that seems to beckon you. And this is called Man Dressed as a Bat, and it's about 3.5 meters across and 3 high. A big painting, and you can stand right back from it and it almost still fills your field of vision. The man dressed as a bat isn't Batman. He's not a kind of the cartoon comic character. He's not a rubber fetishist with funny pointy ears. In fact, this man as a bat is based on a sculpture by a local artist, about 0.5 meter tall, and apparently Doig put it on the floor and shone a light from behind, casting the shadow of this bat figure on the canvas, and he moved the light around a little and drew the outline on the canvas. So what you're looking at really is a kind of shadow, a spindly-legged man with his arms outstretched, the head seeming almost truncated, or like a man has got a bag over his head or something. But the wings aren't like bat wings, they're more like a butterfly's wings. And instead of the shadow being black, it's a yellowish colour, kind of off yellow. The surface of the painting, I'm going right up to it now, is much thinner than his earlier work, which was a kind of always a build-up of material that paintings would get very dense, partly because he used to work on them for so long. You know, he'd have them around in the studio, he'd get them out, work on them, put them away again, start on another work, come back to the original one. This seems much more of a piece. The paint is much less on the surface as in it. It's more like one of his watercolours and works on paper that he does, which are very washy and spontaneous. But even though it's thinner, it's very layered, like a watercolour. It's a kind of strange iridescent. There's the kind of blue of the sea, but it's a sort of washed out, sometimes denim-y, sometimes violet, sometimes a kind of indigo, and layers of washes. And you can see where the paint has run, and he's poured solvents all over the canvas. It's running down the canvas, and the foreground is a kind of fugitive, purpley colour, and then the blue of a sort of hint of the sea behind, and then a kind of dun-coloured sky. It's a bit like one of Morris Lewis's abstractions. Morris Lewis, the famous Washington-based painter of the 1960s, who someone complained didn't make paintings, he made pourings. The paint in Morris Lewis's work was actually stained right into the canvas. And so it seems here, but it's strange, there are sort of kind of penumbras around the form of the Batman, which we better come back to. It's this golden colour. In places it's like a kind of washed out t-shirt, I want to say. And it's very spindly legs, quite comical legs, but with this gesture of arms outspread. And even though there's no face, as I said, there is a sort of face in there, but it's almost an illusion. It's almost a ghost of a face. It's like finding faces in the clouds or in a stain on the wall, which is what this figure is like, really. It's a bit like a butterfly, though, pinned to a board. No eyes, but looking back, nevertheless. And when I first saw it, I couldn't quite work out what technique he'd used. Some years ago, he went from using cotton to a heavy linen in his canvases. Normally with linen, you have to put an intervening layer on the canvas before you can use oil paint on it, otherwise the oil will go right into the canvas and leave stains of the oil itself, will get leached out of the paint. When I first saw it, I thought Doig had done like Morris Lewis and kind of poured the paint down the canvas and letting it run like watercolour, and then perhaps later when it had dried, going back into it with solvent to remove the paint. So as much as he was painting, he was unpainting. In fact, the truth is a bit more prosaic. Having drawn up the figure and started working on it, I noticed that there were these sort of stains around the edge of the canvas, along the bottom edge and along the top too, a bit like if you left a letter or something on a table outside and it had rained and the writing had run and had left a sort of stain as it had dried. Doig works in a rum store in Port of Spain. It's a big studio, and one night there was a tropical storm. Windows were open, and the rain got in and flooded the floor, and the wind blew the canvas, which I guess was propped up on paint cans or something against the wall, blew it over. And when he came back in the morning, the painting had been drowned. Obviously, it had inundated and soaked the painting and left these stains. It was fortuitous, an accident. You've got to be confident to use things like that. Either the painting is a wreck or it's a possibility. And when you're working as thin as this, not piling the paint on, not kind of painting one painting on top of another, everything is visible on the surface. Everything that's ever happened to this painting is visible. You can see every tiny dab and touch that has ever been made on this work, or everything that's ever been erased has left its trace. You've got to be pretty brave and confident to use all of that. So it's almost like nothing there. It's a series of veils, this painting, coalescing into this figure whose gesture with arms outstretched is like a kind of greeting, or perhaps a threat. Peter Doig has made several paintings of this figure, mostly small paintings, mostly I think because he likes the shape and this sort of strange, enigmatic, winged figure. There's almost nothing there in the painting. It's fantastic.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.